Okie doke. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and if you could turn to Mark chapter 3. Okay. Today we're going to look at the anatomy of anger. Everybody gets mad. If you've lived long enough, sooner or later, you get mad. And what you have to understand is that the way you look at anger will help determine the way you respond to anger. Okay? Let me see if I can get this gizmo to work. There you go. Understanding anger. A lot of times, anger is not a primary emotion. Okay? A lot of times, anger is a secondary emotion. Because what anger does, it tells you that you're hurt. You see, it's not the anger that was the primary emotion. Say somebody... There she is. Somebody stole my cookie. Right? I won't mention who. Cratchit. So I get mad at her. See? Anger, and I get angry. But I didn't get angry because necessarily she took my cookie. That wasn't the first emotion that I felt. The first emotion I felt was, I'm hungry. I'm starving. And she took my cookie. If somebody disappoints you, sometimes you get angry at them. I was ordering a part the other day, and it came in damaged twice. And it had to be special ordered, and it took up 4 days. And so I got mad. I didn't get mad because necessarily that. I got mad because I was disappointed. I represented myself to my customer, and I couldn't come through for my customer because there were situations and circumstances I had no control over. You understand? Someone says something unkind to you, then you get mad. You get ticked off. But it's not necessarily you just walked in the room, saw them, and got angry. You walked in the room, and it's because they said something unkind. That's why you got angry. See? If you understand anger and how to deal with it, okay, it can be very healthy in your life, or it can be destructive. What you have to understand about anger is that anger is not necessarily wrong. To feel it, it doesn't mean that you are wrong. In Mark chapter 3, I think it's on the board, I'll read it to you. It says, and he, speaking about Jesus Christ, entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto him, is it lawful, or unto them, the Pharisees, the legal guys, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they, what? Held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as what? As the other. So you see, anger is not necessarily wrong. Let's back up a minute. Anger is not a sin either. Okay? Because look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 38, it says, for I came down not from heaven to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And again in John chapter 8, verse 29, it says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that, what? Please him. So you see, if Jesus came to do the will of God, And if Jesus always did the things that pleased God, when he was angry in Mark chapter 3, and when he looked round about on those men and was grieved for the hardness of their hearts, that was God's opinion. That was God's representation of what was going on in that situation. You understand? He didn't sin. So anger isn't necessarily wrong, and anger isn't sin. Because if anger is sin, then Jesus Christ what? Sin. And we know that he was the perfect Son of God, and that he never what? Sin. He never sinned. You see, it's depending on how we choose to deal with our anger. That makes all the difference between loving confrontation and many times what we have, sinful outburst. Ephesians teaches us in chapter 4, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, don't stay angry. Don't stay angry. Anger is an emotion. Love is an emotion. Love is a good emotion. But when you take love and you take it to the other end of the spectrum, it's a bad emotion. And you do stupid things because of quote-unquote love. Love is a God-given emotion. Anger is a God-given emotion. How do you expect to know if something's gone wrong in your life unless you have the emotion of anger? Huh? You're just going to walk around, smile all the time, and let people do whatever they want? See, sometimes anger tips you off that something is wrong, something's askew. You understand? The key is that God understood that, and when Jesus Christ was angry, Jesus Christ was angry. He said what he had to say, and then he moved on. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. We give place to the devil when we do not deal with our anger. When we hold on to our anger, it starts to become unforgiveness. And there's nothing in the world I know that will destroy a person's life more than unforgiveness. Vicious, bitter, unforgiving people are the most miserable people there are. And you want to know something about them? They want everyone else around to be miserable too. They want everyone to share in their misery. It says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. I don't believe that that's a 24-hour period. I believe that the Word of God points us to a place that within the very near future, we should deal with that problem. Because the worst thing you can do within a 24-hour period sometimes is trying to make peace with someone who's not ready to make peace. And all that will do is escalate the problem. Sometimes people need to relax, calm down, and if that takes a day or 2 days, then so be it. Do you think God would rather have you wait 2 days and then the person's back in the right frame of mind, talk to them and work it out? Or do you think God would like you to be a legalistic idiot and work within a 24-hour period and just piss them off more? If I can use a word that I shouldn't. Right? See, so you have to see the heart of God. Because you can take the Word of God and you can use it like a gun, like a six-shooter, and just shoot people up with it. But that is not why God designed His Word. God designed His Word to edify people, to encourage, to restore, to build people up. You understand? So just because someone's quoting the Scripture doesn't necessarily mean that that's God's heart and intent to which that Scripture should be quoted. So everybody's going to get angry. The key is to be able to deal with it and deal with it in a reasonable amount of time. Because if you don't deal with it in a reasonable amount of time, it's just going to fester, it's going to grow, and it's not going to produce anything good. Anger can warn you. You see? When you get mad, it's usually because you're hurt or you're disappointed in some way. Or perhaps you don't feel appreciated or you don't feel loved. If you're a parent, you get angry because there are times where your children do not appreciate you. There are times where your children do not respect you. There are times when your children do not take into account your feelings. You see? So just because you get angry, you can look at that and you can say, something is going wrong here in my life. Why am I angry? Why am I angry? Now see, that's a more constructive and positive way to look at anger than to just get angry and do nothing about it except something negative. The anger you feel isn't the reason that you're mad. Your anger, lots of times, is a secondary emotion because you were disappointed, felt unappreciated, hurt, felt used. You had your own list there, you see? If this is true, what I'm presenting to you, then anger is like a warning light on the dashboard of your car, alerting you to the fact that something is wrong under the hood. You understand? Anybody ever see one of them? I bet you some of you are driving around with one of them on in your car. That is not what you do with anger. It's there for a reason, okay? It's there to tip you off. It's a warning light. And if you drive around with one of them, and it's something critical, you know what happens? It gets worse, right? They were coming back from the competition, color guard, indoor guard competition yesterday, of which they took another first place. And there was a whole bunch of liquid spewing out of the bus. So somebody once told them, and they were aware of it, and then a fire policeman came up, and he told them, you're not driving this bus no more, park it. Because it turned out that it was oil, and they were leaving, the bus driver was leaving a track of oil. This is when they're coming back from their competition. And, you know, it gets on the road, you're going to have a problem. So they made them pull the bus over, and they had to send another bus. And then Kim told me that the lady said that the oil light was on. See, you drive a car with an oil light on for any amount of time, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do more damage. See, anger can be like a warning light. It can alert you that you have a problem and that you need to deal with it. See, most people don't think about anger like in these terms. They think about anger and then they want to fight and they want to justify their feelings by usually hurting someone or striking back to someone. You see? How you choose to deal with your anger now becomes the question. What do you do? How are you going to deal with your anger? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. What's one of the first things you do when you get angry, if you're a guy? You have corrupt communication that proceedeth out of your mouth. These things ought not to be so, my brethren. Right? How can sweet and sour come from the same spigot? I think he says that in James somewhere, right? But you see, we don't want to deal, react, respond that way. And we all fall short. We all fall short. But we fall short because we view anger in terms of selfishness. And we respond accordingly. Instead of viewing anger of, oh, that's a check engine light. I have a check engine. I have a check me light on. What do I need to do to address this light? And the anger is simply just tipping us off to it. The New International Version of Psalm 37, verse 8 says, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to what? No good thing can come if you let the sun go down upon your wrath. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. And there's a lot of practical things you can learn about anger and how to deal with it. And like I said, one of the practical things is to learn how to keep your mouth shut. There'll be a time and a place for you to talk. One of the greatest wisdoms that you could ever learn in life, and it seems to be one of the hardest lessons for many, is to be able to keep your mouth shut. Because you say things out of emotions that you wish you could retract later. And you know what? A lot of times when you say things out of emotions, It's not even what you're thinking. It's just that you're so mad it comes out and you won't even believe that you said that unless someone's got a tape recorder and you play it back. You see, the transmission between the mouth and the brain misses a gear and it just comes out messed up. Romans chapter 14 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for what? Peace. Wherewith one may edify one another. See, that's what we need to do. You can't fly off the handle if you're going to walk for Christ and come off with all types of terrible, bitter remarks when you get angry. You have to learn to view your anger as a warning alarm to alert you to the fact that something's going on in your life that you need to deal with before it gets worse. Because if you don't deal with it, what happens is it usually spills over into other areas of your life and it affects them. Had the bus driver not parked the bus because she was leaking oil, okay, there would be more than just the oil pump affected. The cylinders fit into what's called a cylinder wall, and those cylinders are lubricated between the cylinder and the cylinder wall. The cam fits into a cam bore that has bearings. The rods on the pistons have bearings. The valves have lifters. They have springs. They have all kinds of things. So just stopping, putting the plug back in the oil pan, filling it up with oil, and going about, in other words, addressing the problem, if you ignore it, now you blew the engine, literally. You blew the engine. Because what happens is when you don't get lubrication, one of the reasons for lubrication is to reduce heat. And when you get heat, engines don't like heat. See? No good thing can come of it. So if you don't deal with it, a lot of times it spills over into other areas of your life. You know, an angry person, many times because they're hurt and they're angry, when they talk to other people, they'll take out their anger on that other person. See? That's one of the fastest ways I know to ruin a marriage. Have a bad day at work or have a bad day or whatever and then come home and take it out on your spouse. That's not a good thing. See? Instead of responding to anger in that type of manner, we can look at anger as an opportunity. When you feel anger, when you feel mad, when you feel hurt and it results in anger, don't respond in a negative way. Take it and look at it with the mind of Christ. Respond to it as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to put the whole armor of God on. Something's going on in your life. There's something that's getting to you. Something's wrong. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the Word of God. I'm going to put the entire armor of God. Why? So that I'm able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because the adversary will attack you. You understand? So instead of taking anger and looking at it and responding to it in a negative aspect, take it, let it warn you, and then be positive in your approach and how you deal with it. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, if you could only learn that one. Because how many times do you get in a fight with another person and that's where it stays? Seldom do we go to the next level and see it spiritually and look for the root cause, which many times is spiritual, that's causing that fight. You just think it's Bill and Jane, Bill and Jane. And that's why Bill and Jane never seem to get on top of things, because it's not Bill and Jane. You see? Because sometimes what's causing that problem is a spirit of divorce. Yeah, there's such a spirit. And its name is divorce. And it comes into a marriage to cause a divorce. That's its purpose. There is a spirit called suicide. Suicide comes into a person to cause a suicide. It doesn't come after the fact. It comes in to cause the problem. Divorce is the same way. If you're married, don't ever mention the word divorce in your house. Because if you do, it's like inviting a spirit to come in and take up residence there. You don't do that kind of stuff. Well, if you look at anger as an opportunity, instead of saying, I'm going to divorce you, instead of saying that, say, well, something's going on here that's wrong. what do we need to do to correct it, that's healthy. Then you can move on. You see? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's why so many people get messed up in this area. They think it's just you and me. It's not you and me. God's word is spiritual. And what people fail to see is the spiritual aspects and reality behind the physical manifestations. That's why they never get to the root of the problem. That's why they are in constant turmoil and constant cycle of defeat. Because they never get to the root, because the root's spiritual. We wrestle against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spirit wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. See, anger can be an opportunity. It could be an opportunity for you to take unto you the whole armor of God so that you could what? Stand. God wants you to stand. He doesn't want you to get ticked off, run away, say, give me my bat and ball, I'm out of here. He wants you to stand. So, you know, next time you get mad, stop, think, check engine light. What's going on in my life that I'm mad? What needs to be addressed? Because when a check engine light goes on, you know what happens? People bring them to people like me. And then you know what we do? We hook up computers and we scan the system and we find out what's causing the problem. And then we say, this is what you need to fix the problem. You understand? That's the way it works. Well, when a check engine light goes on in you, when a check life light goes on in your mind, you try to fix the problem. But if you can't fix the problem, if you can't fix your problem with an automobile, who do you go to? You go to a mechanic. If you can't fix your problem with your life, you go to a trusted believer that can help you. You understand? Get help. What you want to do is correct the problem. And having done all, we do what? Stand. Anger can be viewed as an opportunity. An opportunity to what? Renew your mind. Now, for those of you that have a perfectly renewed mind and are imperfect in your walk in Christ, Jim, you can leave, come back. You see? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. It says, you put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. That's the New King James Version. Verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on what? The new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, unless you learn how to resolve problems in a godly way, any relationship you have is headed for potential preventable disaster. And that's the key word, preventable. It's all preventable. If you are not in control of your life when you get angry, if you fly out of control, if you hold on to, you know what, you're only hurting yourself. And then you hurt others. And if you don't deal with it, when you get married, when you have children, when you get involved, you bring that to the table. And that's not something you want to bring to the table, because that just makes more problems. Because then your problems become her problems, which becomes the family's problems, which a lot of times wind up in divorce. See? Jesus got angry. There's nothing wrong with getting angry, okay? But he used his anger for the glory of God, right? Because a miracle came out of his anger, right? Well, okay, when you get angry, you can use your anger for the glory of God. You can use your anger in a constructive way. You can respond the way Jesus responded. The fact that you're angry isn't a sin. It's not necessarily wrong. How you respond, how you deal with that anger, what you do in response to that anger, that's where it becomes your choice. It can either be good or it can be bad. Sometimes you just need to get away. The Bible says, be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Sometimes you need to walk away and cool off. Sometimes you need to put a day or two between you and the person you're angry at. so you can think properly. I know this sounds easy to do, but it's really hard because it depends on what type of a hard-head stunad you are and what kind of background you come from. Because if you're used to just flying off, this is hard to do. But you can get a control of this. You can get a handle on this in your life if you want to try. You really can. And it can be beneficial. It can be profitable. And you can bless people. And you can take that and you can use it and bring glory to God. Sometimes when you're talking with a person, don't respond to them. If you realize that you're getting angry, okay, then that's not the time to start to talk, all right? Maybe that's the time to get away and say, well, let me think about these things. But on the other hand, if you realize you're getting angry, there's such a thing as righteous anger. Jesus didn't say this isn't the time not to talk in Mark chapter 3. You see, it's a walk with God. It's a walk with God. Because anger can be a good thing. It can wake people up. It can get people to realize where they are spiritually and what they need to do. It can get people to grow up and take accountability for their life. You know what I'm saying? If you're always going to walk around and say, oh, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. Maybe somebody doesn't need to be told they're wonderful at that point in their time in life. Maybe they need a swift kick in the butt. Say, wake the hell up. What are you doing? You see? Anger helps us walk like Christ. You see? We walk more like Christ by putting off the former attitudes that promote conflicts and anger and putting on the mind of Christ. In other words, anger's your chance to exercise the mind of Christ to do the right thing. If you were never set in a position or a situation in life where you were never tempted, you were never wronged, you were never hurt, when that first time that situation happens, you're going to be an emotional cripple, a spiritual cripple about it. God gives us His Word so we can then take that Word and practically apply it in our lives. Understand? That's why He gives us His Word. When we respond like Jesus Christ to anger, that helps us put on the mind of Christ. And the more we respond like Jesus Christ, the more in our mind we'll become like Jesus Christ. Spiritually, we are like Jesus Christ, and we have everything that He's ever given, and there's no more. But we have to put it on up here. These concepts are totally overlooked in most conflicts when someone gets into a fight. Because people, they want to escape from the situation. And the way they want to escape from the situation is they leave physically or they're going to win the fight. You know, do you ever hear this flight or fight syndrome? When something's uncomfortable in your life, the natural response is, I got to get out of here. Or, okay, roll your sleeves up. There's really no other choice you can do about it. I mean, you know. When we view anger properly, our response to anger is, he said he don't like my pink shirt. I don't say to him, look, jerk, it's violet. Right? I don't do that. I say, well, would you like to try it on? Or, you understand? And in saying that, or in saying, oh, I have a gray one, I'll try that next week. In saying that, I put the mind of Christ on. The other way, I want to overcome them. You know how I'm going to overcome them? I'm just going to come back with something sarcastic at them because I won the fight. See, I'm not the first person. I'm not the one to run. But some of you are. You understand? Some of you are. Some of you would sooner run then express your feelings and talk it out in a healthy relationship, in a healthy way. Some of us, we the other kind. Pistols at 40 paces, right? Anger can help us walk like Christ. It's wise to step back from a conflict and ask yourself this when something comes up. Are you doing everything you can to take advantage of this special opportunity that God has given you to handle it God's way. That is a healthy way to look at a problem. Do we all do it? No. But see, that's something we could strive for. When a problem comes up, and see, this is the way the devil works. The devil knows how to push our buttons. So he says, I know he's angry, and I know he's going to respond this way, so I'll just do this. But when that happens to you, throw the devil a curveball back. Say, okay, God said I'm victorious. He said I can do all things in Christ. He's made me the victor over all things. So I could be victorious in this situation. How can I go to the Word? How can I put on the mind of Christ? How can I take advantage of this opportunity, of this anger that I'm feeling, and take it literally and turn lemons into lemonade? And isn't that what we want to do? And you know what? Sometimes that means you got to swallow your pride. Sometimes even when you're right, that means you just got to keep your mouth shut. Because if a person's not ready to receive that, you're not going to help that person. Were you ever wrong in a situation that you handled wrong, and then 2, 3, 5 years down the road, you realize, you know, I was really wrong in that situation. I should have listened to so-and-so. I know we all do that with our mothers and fathers, right? At one point in our lives, they've told us, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And then we say whatever, and if you had a mother or father that has lived for a few years and has some wisdom in them, they just, okay. Because you know what? Why is it that a child has to touch the damn stove before they know not to touch the stove again? And you tell them 100 times, don't do that. Right? And they know it. But why is it that they got to touch it before they don't do it again? You know why? Because they got to experience it. They got to experience it. And once they experience it, I'll guarantee you that the 100 times that you told them won't even compare to the one touch of the blistered hand. And then you make them do the dishes. Right? So there's sometimes people have to experience things like that to learn. But anger doesn't have to be like that. We can live our lives this way. And you want to know something else? If you have children, they're watching you. They're watching you in your family, in your situations, to see how you respond to anger. That's what they're doing. And then you know what? There's a cowboy song that says, hey, Dad, I'm watching you. I learned this from you, right? My little buckaroo. If your kids are watching you, and then when they get to be adults, young adults, whatever, and they start to do things that you don't appreciate, you might want to step back and say, well, where did they learn that from? You understand? And then sometimes the answer is, well, I learned it from you. This is the way you act. What you don't understand many times is that the way you live your life behind closed doors and in your family, where you don't have to be good, you don't have to be on your best behavior, you don't have to be, you know, in church, your children observe that. And your children will learn from your example. And if your children learn that you get angry and you fly off the handle and you don't handle things properly, when they grow up, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do the only thing that they can know. This is how my daddy responded. This is how my mommy responded. This is how I'm going to respond. You are actually training the next generation of believers to carry on your sin if you do not respond properly. See? And then somebody's got to come along like me or somebody else and teach them this material and teach me this material so that they got a chance at renewing their mind and saying, you know what, that makes more sense than just getting all nuts about things and doing something stupid. But the problem with people like me is that a lot of times people like us have 40 or 50 years of doing something before this material is presented to them. And you know what happens? We develop habits, bad habits. And they're real hard to break sometimes when you get to be 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. So it's better off if a child understands this and sees it in your life when they're young so you don't have to repair all those bad habits that you taught them by osmosis when they're older. Right? Sure. And that will give the next generation a chance to hear the gospel of Christ. And that's all we want. We want to be able to move the word of God. We want to be able to have the word of God for the next generation. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can view anger in a healthy way and we can respond accordingly. Thank you, Father, for continuing to teach us. And thank you, Father, that we look for the root of the problem and we deal with it accordingly. If it's spiritual, Father, then we deal with it spiritually. If it's simply a flesh problem, then we renew our mind according to your word and deal with it in those aspects. Thanks for each person here. Thanks for each person that receives these teachings throughout the country. I ask that you would bless them, Father, and that they would take this information, make it their own, and make it practical in their life so that it can live for Christ and live for you. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen.